Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text Number 20. Tam viksha kamsa prabhaya jitataram. Virochayanti bhavanam suchi smritam. Ahaisha me prana haro harir harir guham. Dhruvam shrito yana pureyam idrishi. Tam her. Devaki, Viksha, after seeing Kamsa, her brother, Kamsa, Prabhaya, with the enhancement of her beauty and influence, Ajita Antaram, because of keeping Adita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, within herself. Virochayantim, illuminating. Bhavanam, the whole atmosphere of the house. Suchi smitam, smiling and brilliant. Aha, said to himself, Esha, this Supreme Person, may my pranahara, who will kill me? Hari, Lord Vishnu, Guham, within the womb of Devaki, Dhruvam, certainly, Shritaha has taken shelter. Yet, because Na was not Pura, formerly Iyam Devaki Idrishi, like this. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was within our womb, Devaki illuminated the entire atmosphere, the place where she was confined. Seeing her jubilant, pure, and smiling, Kamsa thought, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is now within her, will kill me. Devaki has never before looked so brilliant and jubilant. Prabhupada, the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In this age of, at the present moment, there are inordinate discrepancies in the discharge of human duties. Human life is meant for God realization. But unfortunately, materialistic civilization is stressing only the senses of the body, not understanding the living force within the body. As clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Denosmin Yata Dehe, within the body is the body's proprietor, the living force, which is more important. But human society has become so fallen that instead of understanding the living force within the body, people have become busy with external things. This is the discrepancy in human duties. Therefore, Krishna has taken birth or taking shelter within the womb of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Men of Kamsa's class, however, therefore, are very much afraid and are busy trying to stop this movement, especially in the Western countries. One politician has remarked that the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading like an epidemic, and that if it's not checked immediately, within 10 years it may capture governmental power. There is, of course, such potency in the Krishna consciousness movement as stated by authorities. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. In this age, Krishna has appeared in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading like wildfire all over the world, and it will go on doing so. Men who are like Kamsa are very much afraid of the movement's progress and acceptance by the younger generation. But as Krishna cannot be killed by Kamsa, this movement cannot be checked by men of Kamsa's class. The movement will go on increasing more and more, provided the leaders of the movement remain firmly Krishna conscious by following the regular principles and the primary activities of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra regularly. Tam viksha kamsa pravaya jitantaram virochayantim bhavanam suchi smitam ahaisha me pranaharo harir guham dhruvam shrito yana pareyam idrishi. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was within her womb, Devaki illuminated the entire atmosphere in the place where she was confined. Seeing her jubilant, pure, and smiling, Kamsa thought, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is now within her, will kill me. Devaki has never before looked so brilliant and jubilant." When Krishna appears, he appears with all his friends, and indeed, he appears with the entire spiritual world with him. As Advaitacharya told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw him on the river Ganges in Navadvip, Advaitacharya said to Lord Chaitanya that actually you're in Vrindavan, because wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Because Krishna never takes a foot outside of Vrindavan, so wherever he goes, he brings Vrindavan with him. So similarly, the Hare Krishna mantra has everything there. Everyone is there in the Hare Krishna mantra. So we have to go to, so we can experience the Hare Krishna mantra. That means, at the beginning, we have to pay attention to the Hare Krishna mantra, and then try to give our feelings towards the Hare Krishna mantra. Try to feel the Hare Krishna mantra's presence. Try to feel Krishna, Srimati Radharani and Krishna, their presence in the mantra. Because we have feelings. If we don't, we're already using our feelings. If we don't use them for Krishna, then we continue to use them externally. Everything we look at, we have some feeling for. So everything we hear, we have feeling. Everything we smell, we have feeling. We always have feelings. So why can't we have feelings for the Hare Krishna mantra? Because it's very subtle, for one thing. It's on the spiritual platform. And our feelings are generally directed towards the external energy. So gradually we have to become convinced that there's no need to direct my feelings towards the external energy. I should direct it towards the spiritual energy. Then if we can experience the presence of Krishna within our heart, as Maharaj Yudhisthira told Vidura when he came back from pilgrimage, and he was very happy to see him. As a matter of fact, everyone was happy to see him. He said, "Bhavan vidas bhagavatas tirtha bhutak swayam vibho tirtha koravanti tirthani svantak stena katabhrataha." That saints like yourself, they're verily places of pilgrimage. Because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage because you carry the Supreme Lord within your heart. So we're all supposed to carry Krishna within our heart. And as a matter of fact, we would be carrying Krishna within our heart if we became addicted to Krishna. So the process of Krishna consciousness is a process that everyone's eligible for to become addicted to Krishna. Because when one experiences Krishna, as it says, ayantikam, one thinks that there's no greater gain, and upon gaining this, one thinks that there's no greater gain. Sukham akyantikam yattat puri grayam atindriyam beti yatran achayvayam sitam chalati tatvata yam lava chabalam lava mandite nadikam tada yasmin sito nidukena guruna pi vichalyate tam vidya sukaduk yogam viyogam yoga samgitaha. Upon gaining this, one thinks that there can't be any greater gain, and one therefore does not become disturbed in spite of the greatest difficulty. In other words, to live with Krishna in our heart means to live in the spiritual world, and means that to be beyond the material energy, observing it but not becoming realizing we're not part of it, and therefore becoming unaffected by it. Just like if one is awake and one remembers a dream, one is not disturbed by the dream because one realizes it's just a dream. So of course this particular dream that we're in has laws to it. It's not just a dream. It's actually working very under the stringent laws of material nature. And we have an opportunity either to focus our attention on Krishna and give our love to him, or to remain in the material energy and focus our attention on the happiness we're going to experience in the future in the material energy. Or the very temporary experiences we have of happiness in the material energy, which go fleeting away, and then we want them even more strongly, hoping that we can somehow or another grab hold of this happiness and keep it forever. But it keeps on slipping through our grasp, and is always, we have to chase after in the future. So Krishna gives a whole process. It's not that one day we're going to just sit there and chant Hare Krishna and the spiritual energy, the spiritual world will descend and we'll be in the spiritual world, and then the Vaikuntha airplane comes down, picks us up, asking if we'd like to go to the spiritual world. We have a one-way ticket going there. We check our pocket. We don't. Sorry, I'll pick it up next year. It's not how it works. It's a very elaborate process. Not elaborate, but there's a process explained again and again in different ways how to become Krishna conscious. Beginning with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says about all the glories of the holy name, how it's an ocean of bliss. Now hopefully all of us have at least tasted a fraction of a little particle of that bliss. Otherwise, we probably couldn't come here very often. It was just a theory. We must have some experience. And how it's the ocean of knowledge, everything is revealed by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But then Lord Chaitanya says, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. The Holy Name has all these potencies. I accept it. I've already stated what they are. But I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction for these holy names. Why? Because I commit offenses. Nam aparat, radha. Apara. Apa means against, and radha against Srimati Radharani. So aparats are ultimately against Srimati Radharani, against the feeling of devotion, just the feeling of devotion. What to speak of the activities of devotion. We can't really get the real, Krishna is not going to reveal, as he says, Bhakti Imam Abhijananti. He's not going to reveal the actual feelings of devotion unless we're qualified by devotional service. And what's the beginning of devotional service? Trinadapi sunichena, some humility. Now we think, well, I chant Hare Krishna, I get my rounds done, what the heck, you know. I'm a good person. And I'm sure, you know, I'll get the consolation prize, at least I'll go to the heavenly planets. Yeah, I'm not worried about what my next birth will be. I'm sure it'll be even more pleasant than this one. So I'll just get my rounds done, schnick, schnick, ram, ram, day, 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 day. And who cares? I don't get any extra prasadam if I chant nicely, and I don't get any less prasadam if I chant offensively. So letting me get my rounds done and somehow I have to drag myself to class so I don't get criticized too much to the program. So everyone likes me. I get less problems. Now, so Trinada Pisini Chena. Actually, we can become humble by living in the association of devotees. The devotees are always willing to help us become humble. They tell us to our face all the time. In the class, we hear it all the time, directly or indirectly. You're a rascal. You're a fool. You're a conditioned soul. You're a criminal. You're stealing from Krishna. We're hearing it all the time. So if we can tolerate being in class, we get a little bit of humility. Otherwise, why would anyone sit here and listen to the being criticized? But real humility comes when we experience how beautiful, how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful it is to be in Krishna consciousness. Then we realize that, you know, I may even be beautiful in the spiritual world, but everyone else, in my estimation, is unlimitedly more beautiful than me, or more attractive. It gives me more pleasure than I can get from my own self. It's only in the association of Krishna and his pure devotees that I experience unlimited love, not just pleasure, but actually sweet love, especially Radha and Krishna, youthful, sweet, romantic love between Radha and Krishna. And all the associates have the same feelings in their own particular mood. So I should be a little humble because now I'm thinking that this body is so important and I have so many things that make me important. Because his body is important, but actually I'm not the body, so I'm an illusion. And therefore, the more important I think that I am because of this body, the more illusion I am. So at least I should try to accept that I'm not this body, and that I'm actually a little tiny speck of Krishna's energy, and I should try to engage my little speck of energy trying to please Krishna and his devotees. That's the least I can do. And we can experience something much greater happiness than we can imagine. And therefore we become a little appreciative. Humility and love go together. We can't have love unless we have humility. And we can't have humility unless we have real love. They go together. So we can try to be humble. That means Vaishnava etiquette. Not that we go around to everyone, I'm humble, I'm sorry. Kick me, please kick me, I'm so low. Step on me. Make me feel, make my day, step on me so I can know I feel humbler than the straw in the Trinada piece in nature. I can feel humbler than the grass. No, real humility and love have to go together. If someone steps on us and we stand up and we hit them in the face, you stepped on me too hard. No, that's not. But if we feel real love and appreciation, how nice devotees are, just like we want to help people invoke their love for Krishna, we have to be nice to each other. We practice in the association of devotees. If we can't be loving, at least we should try to be pleasing. That's at least some kind of love. Try to be pleasing. Try to become, do what our association with each other, with care and attention. There's so many opportunities we have, we may not be overflowing with pure bhakti, and as soon as I walk in the room, that everyone is just swoons in ecstasy due to my presence. But at least they shouldn't run out of the room when I walk in. I should be at least friendly towards people, and have us, be trying to figure out what to do to please them. So that's the beginning of humility. Some love and humility will go together. We try to please people we love, and if we try to love them, then we'll feel humility. Just like even if you have a dog, which I don't recommend, or a cat. Even if you have a little fluffy little cat or dog, immediately when you start loving the dog, you feel subordinate to it. That's why you take the dog out for a walk, or the dog takes you out for a walk. There's some humility, some appreciation for the dog. So if we can appreciate the dog or the cat, we should be able to also appreciate the devotees, who can give us a lot more happiness and Krishna consciousness than our particular dog or cat we have perhaps have. Because the dog, I doubt whether it's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, which is actual happiness comes from. And to maintain that trinada pisuni chantarar eva seshna, tolerant like the tree. Otherwise, if we don't learn tolerance, which was what Krishna told Arjuna from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, first we're not the body, and then be tolerant. If we have too many expectations in the material world, it's impossible to be tolerant. Because as soon as we're in the bodily concept of life, our time is limited, and if we have things we want to fulfill, then anyone who stands in my way, I try to push out of my way. And in one way or another, and anyone who helps me on the way, then I become overwhelmed with subordination towards that person. I have to do everything possible to satisfy them, so they help me on my path towards material, perpetual happiness. Therefore, either we're averse or we're subordinate, but in any case, we're in Maya. So one has to learn tolerance. One has to tolerance, but what is tolerance? One has to look inside oneself and ask the question, what does Krishna want me to do under these circumstances? It's not enough just to be tolerant that I step on a nail and I just grin. I don't yell out. That's not tolerance. It's kind of tolerance. But one will explode, you know, the next moment, I'm in such pain, but I got to show I'm tolerant. And then when no one's looking, then we explode, take out our frustration. No, real tolerance is when we look inside ourselves, try to think about Krishna's instructions to us, his Acharya's instructions to us, and then we try to do that, undisturbed. In spite of the fact that we're being distracted by something which ordinarily we couldn't tolerate, but because I've become determined to follow Krishna's instruction, therefore I do it with my mind and senses, in spite of whatever distraction that might be presented to me. But because by doing so I can think about Krishna, therefore I enter into another platform of awareness where actually I feel bliss. Like there's one devotee, he was going to collect flowers for Krishna during the scorching heat of the Indian summer. And the sun was shining on him, but because he was absorbed in thinking about how to please Krishna, therefore he felt the blazing sunlight to be like cooling moonshine. Or when Bhishma Dev was firing arrows at Krishna, he was actually firing them at Arjuna. But Krishna was a charioteer, but somehow or another, some of the arrows were going towards Krishna, so Arjuna stepped in front of the chariot. We don't recommend this. This is not the test of your Krishna consciousness. See how tolerant you could be. Yeah, I've really practiced tolerance. Shoot arrows into me. Oh. Wait a second. So, Arjuna was stepping in front of Krishna in the chariot, and Bhishma Dev was firing arrows into him, but he felt them just like flowers being thrown at him, because he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's extreme Krishna consciousness. Extreme absorption. But that, at least we should chant Hare Krishna, or remember something about Krishna, try to look inside ourselves, rather than immediately react to the circumstance. But not just restrain our senses, but Krishna says, Tani sarani samyamya yukta sitamat para vashehi yastendriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. One who restrains his senses and organs of action and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. So there's always two things. Engage the senses in Krishna's service, restrain them from material activities, and fix the consciousness upon me. Then we can be tolerant, some degree of tolerance, and that will progress. As we practice tolerance, as we practice focusing our mind upon Krishna in difficult circumstances, then that ability to focus the mind upon Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself to us more, we'll be able to focus more on him, and we'll be able to become aloof from disturbances in material energy. Then, Amanina Maradena Kirtini Yaksadhari. Then we can actually appreciate anyone who's engaged in Krishna's service, because there are actually manifestations of the spiritual energy. What we're seeing is the spiritual energy in action. And we appreciate the soul within the body, because the soul is willing to serve Krishna, and therefore Krishna is manifesting through his spiritual energy divine pastimes. It may appear that this is just ordinary, but actually it's all spiritual and divine. Anyone who's engaged in the Krishna service, then they're actually engaged in Krishna's pastimes. And then one will see that by the mercy of my spiritual master and the acharyas and the devotees, I'm able to desire something to be engaged in Krishna's service, and therefore actually it's only by their mercy that I'm able to do that, and therefore one doesn't desire any particular credit, because one understands that the real credit goes to the merciful devotees for engaging me in Krishna's service. And therefore one doesn't desire to get any particular honor for oneself, because one realizes all the activities are being done, they're all being done by the spiritual energy, not by me. And I don't get the credit, because it's by the mercy of the devotees and Krishna I'm able to desire so that Krishna manifests the spiritual energies through this body that I'm in. Then Kirtana Yaksadhari. One could always chant Hare Krishna and become eligible to make further spiritual progress towards absorption in Krishna consciousness, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains step by step by step. So there's a process, and if we practice it, that's why those who are living, especially in the temple or visiting it, they have an opportunity to practice the right thing. But we have to know what to practice, not just to move the body here and wait for prasadam. That's good, but that's not the highest level of consciousness. We actually have to see every interaction with devotees as an opportunity to further my loving exchanges with them, and therefore becoming more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. To become truly humble in Krishna consciousness, truly tolerant, and truly appreciative. At least we have that opportunity. We should take it step by step, seeing this opportunity to check how am I seeing things, how am I feeling things, how am I doing things, so that we improve and therefore become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so we can actually experience Krishna's presence. And that's our goal, to develop, feel Krishna's presence and give our love to him. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Tell me, should we have the same amount of tolerance to devotee and to people who are not engaged in Krishna service, who are not devotee?
Well, of course we should be actually tolerant. It's not a question of amount of tolerance. It's amount of absorption in Krishna consciousness. Generally speaking, we're probably more likely to remember, hopefully, unless familiarity breeds contempt, which sometimes it does. We get used to the association of devotees. But if we see the opportunity to please serve the devotees and please them, to be Krishna conscious in the association of devotees, then we could probably, we're learning more tolerance than their association. And we probably learn in the association of non-devotees who were probably, hopefully, we're not associating with that much or intimately. So because we don't associate with them so intimately, therefore we don't have to practice so much tolerance unless we live with them or we associate with them too much. And the worst thing is if you have a dog or something, you get so much absorbed in trying to serve the dog with no spiritual reciprocation. Of course, we, generally speaking, we think ourselves very tolerant of the dog, unless it bites us or something. But anyhow, we should be equally Krishna conscious in both, but we should probably, hopefully, we're more Krishna conscious in the association of devotees. Unless we're on book distribution or Sankirtan or something like that, then the result is that we're especially empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we sometimes we think, this is my energy, or these people are nicer than the devotees, or whatever we may think. But we're especially empowered because it's the nature of the service. Krishna has to give us some special Shakti in order to distribute the book, otherwise it wouldn't be possible. But it's not that these people are nicer than the devotees, or more friendly. It's just that in order to get them to take the book, we have to be, Krishna has to empower us to be more friendly, and that invokes within them friendliness also. But when we're in the devotees, if we get too much familiar with them, sometimes we invoke the opposite. So we have to be careful not to get too familiar with the devotees and see them properly, transcendental vision, through the scriptures. And therefore deal with them in such a way as to invoke their feelings of love and appreciation rather than their animosity. Anything else?
Which way is Vaishnava aparad against Srimati Radharani or pleasure potency, like you mentioned in the beginning of lecture?
Well, there's Krishna, and there's Krishna's energies. And all the energies are meant to please Krishna. And Krishna is only pleased by love. So we don't have some basis of love in what we're doing. We're committing offenses. It's either lust, or anger, or greed, or it's bhakti at every moment. Yeah, so if we choose bhakti, then we make some progress, so it's pleasing. Srimati Radharani, who's pleased when Krishna is pleased. And if we choose lust, anger, and greed, then Srimati Radharani is dissatisfied because Krishna is displeased.
Does that have connection with ten aparadas to the whole name?
Yeah, that's the whole basis of the, that's what the whole aparada is about. Ten offenses. It's all about whether we're pleasing Krishna or not, serving him. Can't please Krishna by offending his devotees, you have to serve them. You can't please Krishna by thinking someone else is more important than Krishna. You can't please Srimati Radharani if you love someone other than Krishna. You think someone else is more important. Or you don't see someone else, even Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva in relation to Krishna. You think they're more important than Krishna. Srimati Radharani is going to be very displeased. If you don't respect the spiritual master or the other devotees, then Srimati Radharani will be displeased. If you don't see how Krishna is offering himself in devotional service through the scriptures, you don't accept them, then Srimati Radharani won't be pleased. If you don't accept the holy name, or you do things against the holy name, or you think something's more important than the holy name, or you confuse people about the holy name, then Srimati Radharani will be dissatisfied.
Anything else? Kala Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.